page, and you got Jacob and all those guys over there. And I was like, how is he doing another show when they're doing a show?
Well, the thing here is that I have that hosted on my channel because Iron gives us permission to host it on his channel. And yeah. I can just do these. So the Iron Man podcast is through Twitch, X, and Rumble, because you know this show can be a little bit spicy, and you know YouTube probably won't like a show this spicy. And we are back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man podcast, episode 394, with Mr. Bromable, actually,
like and, The Rock way back in the day.
Bromable, good lord. So you're gonna be mowing down a bunch of dudes, actually gonna be beating some people up, actually.
Not anymore.
Oh, so let's start here. How was your life growing up, actually?
Oh, pretty good. Moved around a lot in the early days, but by fifth grade, I think I had been to 10 different schools in 10 different cities. And once I got into fifth grade, we settled down. My dad took a different job with Focus on the Family in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. So then I finished everything out here, and I've never left. So
Colorado Springs. So one of my friends that lives out here, I haven't talked to him in a while. He used to live in Colorado, actually. He moved back to California, which I was like, I don't know if he really probably wanted to do that. But
yeah,
do you actually enjoy living in Colorado? Everyone I hear comes from there through that state is like, they never say what they like about Colorado. It's always like, oh, I live in Colorado. It's okay.
Yeah. It's one of those states that, had to mute the actual stream. It's one of those things where, yeah, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, if you like the mountains, it's great. If you like the outdoors, it's great. We don't really get four seasons of weather, so that sucks. Like, summer's only like 6 weeks long, and it doesn't start until late June, early July. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, if you like the cold, it's good. I'm not a huge fan. I came from Oklahoma and Texas, so
okay.
I prefer more of the hotter, more humid climate, and I'll go to Texas any chance I get to get away from Colorado.
So how's living out there, like, at day to day? It's pretty chill people for the most part where you're at, actually.
Yeah, for the most part, Colorado Springs is not too bad. It's like one of the last conservative bastions in Colorado. Everything else is extremely California.
Oh,
because of all the Californians.
Because I wanted to ask you, because on your Twitter profile, you have a caption that was Trump. It was like the greatest president. So I'll ask you, you voted for Trump, I would assume, back in 2016.
Yep,
was running against Hillary Clinton twice, actually. The election was stolen from him the second time around. We all went to see he was winning. And then we woke up dementia-ridden Joe Biden won.
Crazy. Yeah, I never actually went to sleep that night. I was watching Crowder and crap where they were delivering the ballots, you know, from a van. So, yeah.
So I'll ask you this, back in 2016, wherever you were at in your life, was there a period back then where when Trump was becoming president that you felt like you couldn't talk about it because of your family structure, friends and your personal life, job structure? Did you feel that back then, actually?
Not me. Mm-hmm. I was pretty outspoken about it. I have the red hat and everything. But I also, everybody kind of knows where I stand on things.
Okay.
Like my family and friends, I grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh. I was a talk radio, nut. I listened to more talk radio than I listened to FM growing up. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, everybody knew where I stand on politics. I was pretty outspoken about it. So I never felt the need to shut up.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Because you know what? A lot of people that are kind of like not like in the F&T space, you know how there's like these other levels to it now? People that like Gary and like them, but they have their own stuff. Some of the commenters they have on their channel, not the actual people, but the people that have comment on their podcasts and stuff like that, a lot of them have gotten to this point where they're like, you know what? What if we just like stop talking about this stuff and we start talking about other things? And I'm like, so you just give up? That's how life is. You don't just give up. I've never been that. Like, yeah, I can agree that movies and TV and have gone to a bad spot. I can agree with that. I don't think it's as good as what it used to be. There's plenty of bad stuff coming out now. But I don't think it gets better if we stop talking about it, because that's what these people want you to do. They want you to stop talking about it so they could just like basically do whatever the hell they want without any level of backlash. and that they, that shows right there, if you give up, you've just been like, I wave the white flag, like Switzerland, I'm done. Like, no, yeah. Giving up is actually terrible, actually, because if people gave up, then, well, Nerdrotic and Jeremy, where they're all those guys right now, they wouldn't be where they're at if you just gave up. I don't know where people are getting in this mind that if you just suddenly give up, that it'll just make things better, or the fact that they think that other people should stop talking about it because they want to personally give up. That's my thing. It's like, okay, you want to wave the white flag like Switzerland? Go ahead, cool. But I'm not doing that. Why do I got to do that? That's not how that works. You can give up all you want. I ain't doing that. Have you been seeing that in some of these like other channels? Actually, it's so weird, actually.
Well, I'm actually plugged in with part of the more political side of the fellowship because, I mean, within a few weeks of getting on YouTube, I don't do a lot on my channel or didn't used to. Mm-hmm. Now I do some gaming, but I basically did a couple videos and knew a few people from around the fellowship, and I got invited on the Comics Division show, the political one, yelling at
Park like Cards. Yeah, I like
pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I became a permanent panelist. Like after the first time I was on there, they asked me, "Hey, can you do this all the time?" So I had kind of a weird introduction to YouTube because, you know, most people don't get on a channel like Comics Divisions right off the bat, but it was because I was drawn to the political. The only thing that got me on YouTube, actually watching YouTube, because I mean, I'm in my 40s. I didn't really consider YouTube a thing, you know, until recently, was just trying to find footage of all the riots going on during the Summer of Love. So that's how I got on YouTube, or found YouTube stuff. And that actually led me to D-Day Cobras, you know, back when he was really doing it before, you know, he took a break for quite a while from the politics stuff. But yeah, I found D-Day Cobra. Then, of course, F&T comes from there, and then Comics Division, everybody else. So, but yeah, I see what I see it, the pullback on is more people being scared to talk on YouTube about it. But a lot of people are bringing, you know, starting the Rumble side and everything else, to where you can cut from YouTube and go over to Rumble to talk about the spicier stuff. So there are still people doing that. But yeah, I mean, I don't think we should back down on any of it. But I understand the guys who are making their living off of YouTube can't really do that without endangering their income. So that's where Rumble has been very important, and some of the other outlets.
That's why I've always talked about having alternatives too, because the fact that this many people are so dependent on one company, and if this company ever went through any significant changes to like leadership, how they do things, anything, this is how businesses function generally year to year. They change on some stuff, new leadership, new ways they want to execute on business ideas, then if your type of content doesn't align up with whatever they're trying to promote, like Shadversity, you know who that is. He put out a massive 40-minute video. I watched it all yesterday. I'm not into like medieval stuff or like what the content he personally does, but I watched that video specifically because it really goes to show you why we need alternatives just in general, you know? And people keep saying things about Rumble World, Rumble's this, Rumble's that, Rumble's this. I understand where people are coming from, but people need to understand even YouTube didn't start out the way it is now. It takes time to build these things. My issue is, dude, is that people are so gung-ho about things progressing so fast, they're losing sight of like taking time to build to that, you know?
Right.
People want like the end result so quick, and it's like, you're not going to get that. You don't, like, not saying you specifically, but a few people that have been commenting, we allow these other platforms and bigger alternatives that we use now to get bigger, to get to this point, to do this stuff. I don't know why Rumble isn't given this same level of a grace period. It's like, it has to be as good as YouTube right now, otherwise it's trash. And it's like, you yourself didn't even operate under that mindset a long time ago. Everyone else let YouTube grow and get to as big as it was. And they're like, you know what? Okay, now I got to do something different. You know?
Well, yeah. Cause YouTube came around in what, 2004, 2009, it gets bought by Google.
Yeah.
I mean, it took 5 years for them to get big enough to get bought out. And then it took a long time for them to get the rest of the stuff going.
Yes.
The thing with Rumble, yeah, they're doing a great job of getting stuff out there. The thing with Rumble is it's not going to have the same issues that like Parler had, because Parler had explosive growth, but they also didn't have their own servers or data centers. Mm-hmm. Rumble does. So Rumble is untouchable in that way. I mean, they could take them off of the app stores, but you could still you know, get there from your PC or just from a browser. So that's what Rumble's doing right. The problem with Rumble is pulling viewers over and the type of content that Rumble has. Yes. It's really only good for live streams. Videos don't do crap here. And what made YouTube big was being able to go search, how do I change the headlamp on my, you know, 2004 Honda Civic, and finding a video to do that. Rumble hasn't gotten there yet. They need to.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the content they need. They need the how-to videos. They need the stupid cat videos.
They need the tutorials.
They need all of that. Yeah. They need the gaming, you know, the gaming actual tutorials and walkthroughs, that kind of stuff, where you can go pull it up, not just trying to hope that you find a live stream that's active right now that's talking about what you want.
Yes.
So they've got some work to do, but they know it. Pavlovsky's been real good about it. They've been implementing features on a monthly basis, if not more often than that. Even just getting the ads in the chat and being able to have it autocomplete is huge just in the past few months, because that was keeping people from enjoying the chat when you can't tag people.
Right. And I think another issue that Rumble could improve on is discoverability seems pretty hard, you know, and I get people have to do their own content to get discovered and put in the work. And I'm all about putting in work, about doing content for that. But if they're going to have like small creator programs where they're allowing people to join, I think that should be a little bit more massive than just like 50 to 100 people. Because the first one, I was rejected both times, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I do streams here 7 days a week, monthly, multiple times too. And it's like, what am I specifically doing wrong that won't allow me into the program? Like I was before, not to my own horn, but I'm the most dedicated person here that I would say, you know, 7 days a week, monthly. Yeah. You know, so that's my thing is I think the discoverability is pretty jank right now. And I think it's going through the same issues that Twitch initially went through. You know, YouTubers were like, hey, come to my Twitch stream after this is over and follow here. They're kind of in that phase. And you said it before. How do they do that? Because people already know that trick already. Twitch already was a benefit of that tactic. If people know that's already a thing, it's harder to kind of trick them twice to do it, you know? And with Rumble, like I said before, you have to go and get another app. You have to go and try to see the person's channel. You have to go and try and follow them. It's all that stuff that goes with it. And people are, like I said before, they're kind of like, you know, pretty homesteady. This is their home. This is where they're staying. That's it, you know?
Well, and it's where the chat's happening. I mean, Rumble doesn't have as lively a chat because there's not as many people watching it on the Rumble stream. Yeah. I mean, it's like you got your three or four people that'll chat on Rumble and the rest of them stay in YouTube and they all feel left out over on the Rumble side. So they either open up both chats, which is what I suggest doing, or, you know, they just miss out on the camaraderie of chat. The dirty secret with Rumble, not so secret, but there is no algorithm on Rumble. If you select a category, you're going to cycle to the front page at some point. It's just a matter of time and how long your stream is going. But there is no algorithm that goes and plucks anybody up to the front page or featured. That is all hand done or just cycling. So, like, Crowder is going to get handpicked every single time. All the big boys are Bongino, Crowder, Barstool. All those guys automatically will be on the featured. But the rest of them, the category, it's just cycling through. So you can... Yeah. Show up on the live page for, you know, hours at a time, or you could show up for 5 minutes and get cycled back out.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Rumble too. And if the platform ever grew to like as big as like Twitch's level a little bit, or even where like Kick is at, because I think Kick and Rumble are on the same, they're like two sides of the same coin essentially. I think if Rumble grows a lot more than where it is at right now, and like I agree with you that the CEO is doing a great job of features, the guys that are talking on Twitter, that they're implementing, you know, changes all the time. If they can get to a point where it is a lot more known and it is a lot more bigger, if you put in the work now when you got just a little bit of following now, you're going to be there. And if you just put out just pop culture content there, the content that I put out there that I would put out on YouTube, it actually does fairly well over there. It gets views. People watch it. It's just, you know, there's not enough there, like you said. I think if people just put the stuff they're already putting out on YouTube over there, it would grow to that degree, you know?
Yeah.
Because it can only grow if we invest videos into it. It can't grow without us, you know?
Yeah, and the Android app is not good right now.
It's definitely not. I agree.
The Apple one seems to be fine. You know, browser is great. They've got most things implemented there. But the biggest issue is, you know, you, your app needs to work well. And I realize that only about 20% of people are Android users compared to the 80% that are iPhone users, I think. So it's probably not a priority, but especially in the fellowship amongst the people who talk politics and stuff, a lot of people like Android better than iPhone because they don't trust Apple. So with our specific audiences, you may have a lot more Android adopters than you have iPhone, even though the percentage overall is a smaller percentage. So looking at the audience, that may be part of it just from the fellowship side of things, at least the political side of the fellowship.
Oh, because the other thing I'll ask you is, how are you feeling about this political election we're about to go through, actually? Because if anyone thinks that Trump's going to just get in and have a freaking, you know, red carpet cake row, that's not happening. They're going to try everything they can to make sure he doesn't get it, honestly.
There really is not an outcome that I see that works for the country. If Biden gets back in and it's even somewhat close, you know, Trump supporters are not going to believe that it wasn't a cheat. If Biden wins in a landslide, we all know it's, you know, rigged because nobody likes Biden. There is nobody that actually likes Biden. But if Trump wins, you know, we were already, they were already preparing for it during the 2020 election. I mean, they were boarding up every major city in anticipation of the left going absolutely nuts and rioting over Trump winning. So we know what'll happen in that case. The only one that I could see that the only outcome I could see that may work is if Trump just absolutely wins in a landslide, then it's, you have to accept it. I mean, that's the only outcome I see where the country doesn't start ripping itself apart even more, because there are enough people. I mean, 37% of people say that Joe Biden's doing a good job. There's no way you get 80 something million to vote for you again with that, assuming there were 80 million in the first place.
Right. All our dead relatives voted for Joe Biden.
Yeah. Yep. But we didn't, we also didn't solve the issues that led to the issue, to the original problem. I mean, you could say that the election was stolen. I'm more inclined to say that it was rigged, through the systems that were put in place. You know, the mail-in voting, the early voting, all of that stuff that the Republicans don't typically go for. Republicans tend to show up on day of and vote. But yeah, if you've got the mail-in votes and all the early voting stuff, yeah, that's conducive to cheating. So
yes,
they're taking advantage of it. And I think with Laura Trump getting in as the head of the RNC now, I think she'll fight fire with fire. I think Trump will do ballot harvesting in every state that it's allowed, and they will, you know, focus more on the early vote and mail-in vote rather than telling people go out and vote on election day only. So I don't know what we're going to see. It's honestly, I don't know that. I mean, you look at the primaries in California, they were still counting votes up until like maybe a few days ago, if they've even finished. That election was 2.5 weeks ago. Maybe 3 weeks ago.
The state's
Now take 3.5 weeks to count votes? I can't remember what the other race was, but I think it was Chicago. You had the one where it was, you know, the hard on crime candidate versus the typical leftist. And it's still two Democrats, but they just kept finding more votes over and over and over for the one that wasn't hard on crime.
Right.
One that was far more left than this kind of moderate, you know, hard on, there's no such thing as a moderate in Chicago, but you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, they'll even cheat themselves in order to get the candidate that they went in, because there's no way that you've, I mean, there was a pretty good margin, like 20,000 votes, something like that. And they have now found all the votes that they need found, you know, to get the person that they wanted in.
And they want us to trust them.
Oh, Chicago continues to be Chicago.
You know, man, it's just so crazy how these people want us to trust them, but they're just, at every turn possible, they do something so damn shady. What I thought about a few years back, and a little bit before that too, it's like, you know, you pay taxes and whatever, and we know that's a scam and Ponzi scheme in of itself.
Yep.
I've always asked people this, the money you give them, which we know we give a lot of money to these people, and I want people to start questioning this stuff. When they raise these taxes, you already give them enough of your money why are you giving them more? That means they are recklessly spending it on things that they either shouldn't be spending it on, or they're overspending it in areas that they shouldn't be. Everyone already gives them enough money. Why do we need to give them more money?
Yeah,
I don't understand that.
You look at stuff like Colorado. I mean, we legalized pot, right? All of that tax revenue, and it's taxed heavily, was supposed to go straight to the schools. So why are my property taxes up almost double over the last 2 years?
Property taxes are through the roof. Yeah, you're right.
And that's what property taxes are primarily to pay for the school district. So how do you collect hundreds of millions of dollars in marijuana sales tax and still need to up everything for the schools? That doesn't make any sense. The property taxes shouldn't have gone up. I mean, ultimately what we're seeing is the value of the dollar has gone to nothing. So yeah, they do have to collect more because they're too busy sending all of our money to other countries rather than taking care of things here.
Yeah. And I don't understand that either. It's like, you know, I always grew up in a time where, you know, my mom said, make sure you take care of yourself. If your parents had the same too, when you take care of yourself first before you take care of anybody else, why are we so concerned with everyone else before ourselves? I don't have a problem with helping people out, but like, if you are not secure in your own life, why are you helping anybody else? If you can't even pay your own bills, hey, why in the world are you paying somebody else's or attempting to pay someone else's bills? It's crazy. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, especially with stuff like Ukraine. I mean, it's like, absolutely no money should be going to Ukraine. It is not a democracy. It's just as corrupt as Russia politics are. And actually, my very first video was about whether Joe Biden was going to pull Russia into that invasion and be the cause of it. And then 3 hours later, it happened. The invasion started. So, I mean, that was the first videos I did, was talking about Ukraine and Russia. And ultimately what happened is Biden kept saying, we're going to bring Ukraine into NATO. That was a hard line that was never to be crossed by multiple treaties in the past with Russia. So I don't fault Putin for, you know, wanting to protect his country. I wish we were more nationalist like Putin is. I'm not saying Putin's a good guy, but I would like to have that mentality more than the, you know, let's be the police of the world and try to take care of everything. And I don't believe that propping up Ukraine does anything for us in our national interest, military-wise.
Yeah. Because
and now he's trying to pull us into World War III. I mean, they just announced yesterday that, you know, Ukraine will be in NATO. It's like the second that happens, nukes start flying. Because, I mean, Putin has said it. He said, if you do that, Article 5 gets invoked. And that means Russia is severely outnumbered. What stops us from just nuking everything? We're already going to lose. So they need to start thinking before they just do things. Same with the Israel Hamas situation. I mean, we're now basically abandoning Israel, one of our most staunch allies. And for what? Because a whole bunch of leftist little kids are upset because, you know, Hamas attacked Israel and then Hamas is getting wiped off the face of the planet. How many more times does this need to happen before Israel does what it wants to do?
Yeah. And everyone said that if you attack them, they're going to retaliate in a way that's nothing that Hamas' side can actually compete with. Because the actual size of Israel and the power that they have and the industrial complex they have compared to Palestine is so night and day different. Like, they're much bigger, much more stronger than them. They would have to know doing that, that's a suicide mission. You would have to know that, you know? Yeah.
Well, there was a time where Israel's, you know, military might was probably around third best in the world.
And that's pretty good.
If not higher.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a country their size, they've got the technology, they've got everything that they need to absolutely wreck anybody that they want for the most part. I mean, the thing, I'm looking at all these protesters and I'm listening to all this stuff about the poor Palestinians. Yeah, I don't like civilians getting killed. But at the same time, 70% of Palestinians, from the last numbers that I've seen, and it's been pretty consistent, 70% of them side with Hamas and want Hamas as their leadership. You voted in terrorists.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to pay the reaper.
And it doesn't also help that we have this big giant, like, Daily Wire situation happening with Candace Owens and, Ben Shapiro. Yeah. I said back in the day, you hire a black woman, you're gonna start getting these problems. I always said, don't hire a black woman. That's just me, man. Hey, you know, you get these LaQuishas in here, and they start talking about what hood they're from. You know, it's the bed you got to lay in it.
I like Candace, but I think Candace is about the ultimate grifter. I mean, I know that Ben is very, very pro Israel, and I mean, it's obvious. It makes sense,
obviously. Yeah, but I love when people are so surprised at that. It's like, He's super pro Israel. It's like, do you have eyes?
That's like when he went on Joe Rogan and said, no, Jesus was not a good guy, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I mean, a whole bunch of people started saying, on Twitter, well, Ben Shapiro doesn't believe that Jesus was anything but just some dude. And it's like, yeah, he's a Jew. That's what they believe.
Yeah.
I mean, I, as a Christian, I know that Jews do not accept Jesus as the Messiah that they were looking for. That's pretty much a tenet of, their religion. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, some Republican congressman was asked a question about, well, do you think if people don't believe in Jesus Christ that they're not, that they're going to go to hell? And he was like, yeah. And they're like, well, how can you say that? You can't just say that you're right. And it's like, if that is what your religion is, why would you be affirming any other religion? You either believe in your religion or you don't.
Yeah. I mean, even in the Bible,
even God to would, somebody who's not religious. Yeah. I mean, why would you tell an atheist? Yeah. You'll still probably go to heaven because my faith doesn't actually mean anything. It's just something I talk about. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
That's where you see, you just, when you hear people talk, you can tell how so stupid people are. And it's going to show you why public school is trash. The fact that a lot of people didn't even know that when they have certain religious aspects put in history books. It's very known that Jews did not think of Jesus as the Messiah sent to save us all. That is like, you don't have to be religious. Like you said before, you don't even have to be religious to know that. That is a very common thing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's why they're Jews and not Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, there are ethnic Jews and religious Jews. Yes. And people often mix that part up too, because there is the ethnicity of being a Jew, and there is also the religion of being a Jew. So people just, for some reason, automatically assume that everybody is one or the other. They're either ethnically Jewish or religiously Jewish, but it is two different things. And that is where you see the situation that's been called out recently of, the leftist Jews, they don't tend to be the religious Orthodox Jews. So yeah, they don't really care about Israel. They're just Jews as far as their ethnicity. The actual place of Israel means nothing to them because that's all biblical stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter. So that's why you get all these leftist Jews here in this country that are perfectly willing to fund Democrats and, people that absolutely hate Israel and Jews. I mean, they're just now figuring it out that the people that they've been funding hate them.
Yeah, it's crazy how many religious people in just even this country alone vote for the Democratic Party. It's actually insane. Yeah. Even though these are the same people that'll vote for like trans people and all this other bullshit they try to endorse that clearly shit on religion constantly. They hate Christians. I have no clue why any sane thinking religious person would vote for these people. It just makes no sense. Unless they, like you said before, unless you're actually a fake religious person, and that would make perfect sense, obviously.
Which is more often the case. I mean, how many Catholics actually go to mass? I mean,
how many Christians
go to mass? How many pay attention?
Yeah. Like, how many Christians go to church only on Sunday after they already partied and did all that bad stuff on the Friday, Saturday?
Well, I mean, there's no rule against living your life and having a good time, but the whole thing. The whole rewriting of history now to say that religion wasn't part of the founding of this country is one of the problems. This country has no moral code anymore, and it has no shame. I mean, when everybody is chanting pride at all times, pride is a deadly sin for a reason. It's one of the worst. It's the one that Lucifer is accused of that, sent him to the pit. But that's what we seem to be raising up rather than having a moral code. I'm on shows with a whole bunch of libertarians. We don't agree on a lot of things. We agree on a lot. We don't agree on some things. I mean, they don't want the right you know, the Christian right legislating anything either. And I, for the most part, agree. I want there to be guardrails put back into the country that says, yeah, we don't have naked guys dancing in the street every June. We don't have all this crap going on with the trans movement, everything there. And you don't have drag queen story hour. I mean, let's get back to some societal norms that make sense. Sure, do what you want within your own house or whatever, or in your own bedroom. But we've gone way past that. So I believe that, yeah, religion is probably a good thing. I mean, we just saw the renowned atheist in Britain talking yesterday about he's a cultural Christian. He's an atheist, but he believes that the values that Christianity brings to a country are worthwhile and needed because they are the guardrails for a country. They are the moral code.
Mm-hmm.
So I strongly believe in that. I don't necessarily believe in legislating my religion, but at the same time, if the left can do it, I mean, everything on the left is religion. So if the left can do it without, you know, any kickback, then why can't we?
The thing is, basically, if you do not believe in everything they've ever stood for in their life, every person they've ever talked to, everything they've ever believed, you're out.
No matter how much of it is a double standard, the hypocrisy of the left is what's absolutely amazing, because it is impossible to agree with all their stances without disagreeing with half of their stances. And yet they will go in lockstep and not even think about how it is a complete 180 from the thing they were protesting the day before or praising the day before.
Right.
It all somehow works in their heads, even though from the outside, every single person can look and say, these two things can't coexist.
Right. Even the most racist things that I've seen them do. It was one of my I think actually Candace Owens brought it up recently, and it tripped something in my mind, and I was like, yeah, I remember that. I remember how bad I didn't like that. Where it's like the AOC, you know the girl AOC, right? Where she's just able to talk in the Senate, big giant. It's, you know, the whole thing where they can talk about to politicians and talk about issues and all that stuff. And she's there, and if you look through her profile, if anything, she's nothing. The only reason why she's a bartender is because she's just a Mexican, a Puerto Rican Mexican. What these rapping taco making people do? She's one of them, and that's all they need. Basically, for those who know, this side likes to basically put a black person there and go, "Hey, that's a black person. I guess you can speak for all black people." That might be actually just the most racist thing ever. You look at black people as just this one way. That is actually terrible. But no one sees it that way. You know, they only see you through this one lens. And if you're not that, you are a bigot, fascist, transphobe to them, or some shit like that. It's absolutely ridiculous, dude.
Yeah, I get sick of being called out as a racist because I say that, you know, Kamala Harris is absolutely horrible as a vice president, or Ketanji Brown Jackson may be the dumbest Supreme Court appointment ever. I mean, just last week when they were arguing on the First Amendment, she said, "Well, it feels like you guys are trying to argue that the government should be hamstrung by the First Amendment." It's like, you're damn right. That's the whole point of the Constitution, is to hamstring the government. It's not to hamstring me. It's the restrictions on you guys.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
He is a Supreme Court justice that does not understand the basic principles of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. How do you get to be that job other than Joe Biden saying, "Well, if I do get an appointment, it will be a black woman or a POC. I mean, if I was black, I would be extremely upset that Obama was the first black president, and that's how he did the job. I would be upset that Kamala is the first female black vice president. And I would be upset at the appointment of Ketanji Brown Jackson, because none of those were actually put there because of, you know, how good they were at what they do. Mm-hmm. Obama, it could be argued, it has been argued many times, was the whole white guilt thing. You know, everybody said, "Well, if we elect a black president, that'll take care of everything."
Yeah.
And then one of the biggest screw ups that's ever been in the presidency. He was effective at screwing everything up, at least from our point of view.
Because remember back then, you're a little bit older. You remember when you would ask anybody, "Why'd you vote for Obama?" They'd be like, "Oh, he's black." That should have been I didn't notice this when I was younger, but that at that moment should have been a like a, you know, light bulb going off in your head going, wait a minute, you're just voting for him because he's darker and not the other guy. Wait a minute.
Just
not-
like, yeah, just like Trudeau got voted for because he's supposedly pretty, or Gavin Newsom, you know, I mean, even within our own group, X-Ray Girl has, you know, mentioned she voted for Trudeau because he was cute.
Oh, Lord.
Before she became actually political or got kind of, you know, awakened. But, I mean, Newsom in California, most of his vote is because of his looks, not because he's good at the job or has any ideas that are actually worthwhile. But it is California. So, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, beauty is the only thing that is really, you know, a major thing for the Californians as far as Hollywood and everything else. He's a Hollywood governor.
So I'm to speak to you about this. How do you feel about the whole trans thing, actually? Now we know that's a mental illness, but I want to know just, you know, your personal side of it, actually.
Well, I mean, again, as a Christian, I'm completely against it. I believe that God made you the way that God made you, and God doesn't make mistakes. So, I mean, I think the whole thing's BS. I think it's just more of, you know, people being told that they can do whatever they want rather than solving the root issue, which is the mental health issue, or, you know, the issue now where we've got parents that are trying to make their kids trans because they want to be cool. I mean, they see their kids as an accessory. I'm completely against it in children automatically, and probably even more than what most people are saying. You know, I don't think you should be allowed to do anything till supposedly the brain is completely, you know, formed. So 25 for women, 27 for men, that kind of thing. But I still don't think anybody should be doing it. I think that we should treat the root cause, not just, I mean, that's a place where me and say the libertarians disagree. I don't.
Yeah,
think
libertarians are more like private property, your body,
do,
your
do temple. What you want to yours. Yeah, just stay out of it with me. No, I think the whole thing of trying to make people accept people with mental illness is absolutely insane. You know, I actively try not to use the correct pronouns. I mean,
I make sure I don't.
Well,
I'm not
the pronouns that they're requesting. I, if it comes down to it, if I'm on a stream, and I have been on a stream with a few people, but like if I'm on a stream with Blair White, I'm going to call Blair, Blair. I'm not going to say she or her, and Blair's passable. I mean, we all know that, but we all know that Blair was born a man. So I'm not going to play the pronoun game. I will be respectful, you know, face to face and say, I agree with Blair. I wouldn't say I agree with her, you know, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I think the whole thing is just insane. The fact that we have any of this gender stuff going on when we've managed to go thousands and thousands of years without having any question of what's going on. It's insane. And I've got two daughters. I mean, they're one's high school, one's 20 years old.
Public school, or are they private school, or you homeschool them?
Went to charter schools. Okay. So mix. I mean, it's a public school, but the school that ended up splitting off to charter, most of the teachers and the principal were from actually my old high school, which was a Christian private school. So I kind of knew what they were going to be getting from those teachers and that principal because, yeah, they were from a private Christian school starting a public school charter. But I mean, even there, you know, the kids now, this is the most dangerous fad that we've ever seen, because almost every kid has to identify as something, and that something has to be anything except for straight. So you either have to be the L, the G, or the B, and then there's a good chunk of them that try to claim that they're the T also. Ugh. And I mean, you're tricking a whole generation into thinking that that is normal rather than, you know, the abnormal. I mean, if the only way to be accepted by your peers is to claim you're bisexual, even though you're straight,
that is
ridiculous.
Yeah, because now it's been reversed. These people would always be like, I have to be in the closet. I have to blah, 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 do all this stuff. And it's like, haven't you guys been become the very thing you swore to destroy. It's like, oh, you know, Obi-Wan said in the... Yeah, it's all flipped now. Everything that these people said they had to go through, which I mean, you know, in those time periods, I'm not saying I disagree with them. You probably maybe have to go through that. But why would you want to put that on other people now? Wouldn't you want to be better than that? Wouldn't you want to not do that actually now?
Right. But it's a revenge now. I mean, how many times have we seen the "we're coming for your children" stuff? And then they claim it was a joke.
Oh, yeah. It's always not a
freaking joke. Because, I mean, look at the percentage of kids now that identify as something. It's like 25-30% identify as something.
What you said there is very key that a lot of people won't understand is, even if they say it's a joke, they don't come after your kids, which you know is a lie. What people need to understand, how would their community ever grow? They would have to have your kids, because people can't have kids naturally. If you're gay or lesbian, you can't have kids with another woman or man. It's literally factually provable. If they lie, they say they can, that's a lie. Okay, if you're trans and you chop off your body parts, you cannot have kids anymore. Well, how else would they be able to grow their communities? They literally would need the other generations of kids coming up. That's literally how that would work, though. You would have to be able to manipulate them into coming into your stuff, because you yourself can have a natural cause of having kids.
Well, there's that, and there's the other insidious part of it is, you know, they know that the parents, these generations, you know, my generation, the older generation, the boomers above me, all that, they're not going to accept it, because we all grew up in a reality where, no, this isn't how it worked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if they make it so normalized amongst the younger generations that they just look at it as, this is normal. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything about this is normal. Then within one or two generations, everything that we're saying dies. It dies with us. Our kids will already have accepted it as normal. So once our generations have died out, it's just become a normal thing in society. And there's nobody there to say, yeah, it didn't used to be like this. Mm-hmm. You know, sure, there was 4% of the population claimed to be gay or lesbian.
Yeah.
Now we're at 30%. That is not a natural thing that's occurring. That is programming. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why stuff like, you know, that's why we're fighting back against Disney and everybody else that keeps putting it in everything for our kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a big pop culture guy. I don't read comics. I got into this on the politics side of things. I've been sucked into the culture side of it. And I agree that the culture is extremely important, and so is the politics. It should be hand in hand. But I mean, I don't care about comic books. I don't care about comic movies. I don't care about, I liked Star Wars. I've got a whole bookshelf that has Star Wars books all over it. I've read the whole, you know, Legends now. I'm a big fantasy guy. Yeah, that wasn't my priority, but it's,
you're more on like the political side of things for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah, but so many of the shows, I mean, I'm on a show every night a week. So, I mean, it's all pop culture. I mean, the one where I get to talk about politics is Wednesday nights. Mm-hmm. And if I did my own thing, I could talk to politics, but I don't like doing my own thing. I've got a day job. I don't have the time to do streams every night plus do something else. So, yeah. And it's just the reality of it. And I do kind of like jumping into the pop culture stuff, but I'm not going to have the knowledge or history of comic books like, say, Nick Weiser does, or Tom from Midnight's Edge, or, you know, of course, Gary. I mean, I'm not going to have the Star Wars knowledge that Ryan Cannell has, or, you know, Raging Rhino. That's just not me. But I'm astute enough to be able to look at the things that we've been talking about. I can identify the exact same crap that everybody else is identifying as problems within pop culture. And I'm perfectly capable of talking about it, because it is just another wing of politics at this point. Whether the people in the Fellowship want to admit it or not, we're all very political. I mean, the whole Fellowship is political.
The other side I'll ask you is, since you're not really into comic book movies, you said you're big into fantasy. What other genres of movies are you into then?
Oh, I watch everything. I just didn't review, you know, comment. I didn't take a notebook with me to go watch movies before. Oh, okay, now, yeah. Because I'm on shows, I have to. But like, I mean, stuff like, I mean, The Wheel of Time is one of my favorite, you know, book series ever. Mm-hmm. And it got absolutely demolished by Amazon. So the same way that the Lord of the Rings guys feel about Rings of Power and all that stuff, I feel about Wheel of Time. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I've read every Star Wars novel. I mean, I hated the prequels. So I mean,
I'll be honest here. I watched them for the very first time back in 2021. I think the only decent passable one is the third one. That's it. The other two are, I think, not that good. The second one's I don't know how anyone likes the second. That second one is actually just boring garbage. It is so cringe.
I hated all of them. But I mean, the one thing that they had going for them is the fight sequences were great.
Yeah.
Like the mm-hmm. battles and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I actually did like Rogue One, but I thought the battle scenes in Rogue One were great, but I hated the prequels and I absolutely hated the sequels. But mm-hmm. that's another thing where, you know, I've got friends that have small children now. Mine are pretty much grown, but I've got friends who had small children that they, you know, do it in chronological order. And it depends on when you were born as to whether you like the prequels more than, yeah. you know, the original.
People that like the prequels come from like my, yeah, people that like the prequels come from like my generation a little bit, born like the 90s yeah. and stuff like that. Cause that was when they were
seeing Star Wars for the first time. They probably yeah. hadn't watched mm-hmm. the main series. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I get that. And some people will probably like the sequels more than they like the other stuff for some crazy reason, because that was the first movies they were exposed to. Those are yeah. the ones that they grew up with. Mm-hmm. But we can all look at it and objectively say the sequels were a freaking mess. There was nothing good that happened in the sequels. They plotted out a trilogy without having even an outline. Mm-hmm. They had no idea what they were doing. I mean, you bring in two directors that there's no storyline, there's no, you know, storyboard, there's no outline of at all of where this trilogy's going. Let's just fly by the seat of our pants. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is absolute amateur hour. Mm-hmm. And you're doing that with one of the biggest, you know, IPs that has existed in the last 70 years or so. Mm-hmm.
So I think another big problem is hiring on directors like they did. So I forgot who directed the first one. J.J. Abrams, right?
J.J. and then Rian Johnson. Yeah.
He's always been a hack. Like J.J. Abrams, the only movie yeah. I've seen from him and that I've enjoyed. He's written a few bangers, but directing, the one Mission Impossible 3, I know he wrote Armageddon. There's another one in there he wrote. He was a big producer on Lost. He, to me, always been a hack. I think other people made stuff good around him, and he just kind of just got the credit for it. Because that Star Wars trilogy, this guy he's a guy that never finishes anything. He starts things off strong, then he falters through the end of it, and then just does it half-assed toward the end. Remember, this was the same guy that Warner Brothers gave this guy $50 million to produce DC comic book TV shows for them. Remember that deal a while ago for his bad robot company? This yep. guy did nothing. He did nothing. Yep. This is a guy where he gets $50 million from Warner Brothers, does nothing, and then has the ball and nerve to try and sell this TV show to streaming services. Like, dude, I don't know if you're even committed to even doing this, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I will admit I did like the first in the Star Trek reboots. I mean, I thought that was a pretty fun.
Yeah, he did do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think Carl Urban as Bones was great. Chris Pine was pretty good as Shatner, and or not as Shatner, as Kirk. But I mean, yeah, that even that fell off real quick. Mm-hmm. But the first one I thought was pretty good. He's pretty good at beginning things. He's horrible at ending, because Lost became a complete mess by the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just is not. He's not skilled enough to tell a whole story. He may be good at coming up with a concept for a story, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, we've all agreed he's pretty much a hack. I mean, he may have hit a couple singles or maybe a double, but mm-hmm. The rest of it, he's striking out left and right.
Mm-hmm. And when we're looking at, you have a whole bar in your house, actually. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You're a wine connoisseur, actually?
I've got a all bourbon.
All bourbon. No.
Yep, it's all different bottles of bourbon I've got.
So you just, anytime you're on shows and someone just starts going off on a tangent, you're like, all right, got to open up some bourbon. Just going to be a long night.
I have a couple drinks typically every night on shows, but try to limit it to a couple drinks. So,
oh, God. I
don't like to be sloppy on a stream.
Even recently when we had a $20 an hour go up for minimum wage, a lot of places are closing down. 99 cents. That's what you tell about the economy is 99 cent stores is shutting down. That's bad. That's terrible. That's completely bad. I never want a minimum wage to go to $20. I think the max it ever should have been was $10 max, for being honest here. But other than that, and when every time it kept going up, people kept saying, all right, these jobs got to pay me more money. And I was like, you just sound like a complete economic illiterate when you speak like that. People kept telling me that. And I was like, all right, we're screwed. If that's the mindset of people, we are so effing screwed.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, why not $1 million an hour? What difference does it make?
If there's no barrier to entry, fuck it. Just pay everyone $1 million an hour. Let's just call it a quits, you know?
In reality, I know you said, you know, it should have stopped at 10. It should have been taken out altogether. Let the market determine what your worth is. No minimum wage at all. Just, I mean, if you're not paying people enough, they're not going to come work for you. So, I mean, if you're underpaying people, you're just not going to get employees. The market will take care of itself in that way. You don't need a minimum wage. And minimum wage jobs were never meant to be livable. They're for freaking teenagers. Mm-hmm. The person taking your order at McDonald's, they're not supposed to be able to support a family of four on McDonald's pay. And when you try to make McDonald's able to pay a livable wage, what does it do? All it does is make McDonald's either fire people, so you've got less people with jobs, or raise their costs, or both. And so now they're making $20-$25 an hour to flip burgers, but they still can't buy anything more than what they could when they were making $15 an hour, because everything else has increased in cost too, accordingly. And what you're really hurting is small businesses. Like I'm in insurance. So we cannot pay a person who is not worth it more than what a fast food place is having to pay them. The minimum hourly has to be something realistic for a small business to survive. I mean, I don't get to just raise the prices. Insurance companies are a regulated industry. Yes, the prices rise, but it's not the agent who gets to make that decision. Mm-hmm. It's the company and the state, because it is regulated. So I can't just go out and hire somebody at $25 an hour. Without taking the major pay cut myself, because all in reality, I'm self-employed. All that money comes from me. So for me to hire somebody that is $10 an hour more than what they would have been paid 5 years ago, that's $10 an hour out of my pocket. That's $10 an hour that I, as the one who took all the risk to do this business, don't have anymore. And I'm still paying higher taxes as self-employed and, you know, as on the personal side. So all you're doing is screwing small business. Mm-hmm. Walmart can take this. McDonald's can take this. Small businesses, they can't.
There's even been some fast food
chains. Pay people $25 for whatever reason.
Like there's this fast food place on the West Coast called Foster Freeze. They completely just shut down.
Yeah.
Completely.
Why there's wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's
not a lucrative business. You got to be able to make a profit.
Yeah, I mean, there's people before this that are on like, so I don't know if you have this for your homepage. I don't know if you're on Facebook anymore. My hometown has this like own Facebook page of talking about the locals and stuff like that. You have people that have made comments in the past and recently that went, you know, minimum wage jobs should be livable. And it's like the fact that you even think that goes to show you why you'll never amount to anything in your life.
Yeah,
that's just. Like, and that's the thing is, that job, the reason why it's the minimum, because that's what it's worth, though. That's the market, like you said, dictated that job being worth that much money. That's it.
The way you get out of a minimum wage job to a livable wage is not making the minimum wage livable. It's leaving the minimum wage job to go take a better job because now you have experience. That's how you get to a livable wage. You don't force the livable wage pricing, you know, on the on the companies that are hiring high schoolers to do this job. If you're still working in, you know, McDonald's as a cashier or whatever, not like management, upper management, where you're actually making a salary at the age of 45, you did everything wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just nothing else to that. Or it's your second income. Like, you know, maybe husband makes good money, wife just has it for little extra spending money, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But if that's how you're supposed to survive with a family is off of working at as a cashier at McDonald's, mm-hmm. it's not going to do it. That just shows that you have no interest in actually participating in the economy or providing mm-hmm. anything useful to the economy. So why should we bow to them?
It's crazy that you have to bow to the literal lowest common denominator. Like, someone would be like, well, that mom of like four kids, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was my problem, actually. That's what the problem with a lot of people are. Why do I care? Yes, that sounds kind of fucked up to say, but it's like, that's not my problem, though. You know?
Just like student loans should not be my problem. I paid my student loans. I don't think people should be going to college because I don't think that college provides anything useful at this point. Yeah, it's just a propaganda machine. But why the hell? I'm not going to get paid back by the government for everything that I paid on my loans. Why the hell am I doing that? And mostly the upper class is who goes to college and has the debt. Mm-hmm. I mean, so really it's the upper class getting rewarded by having their debt eliminated. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, same thing. If you're not going to contribute to society, why should we care? And even if you are contributing to society, why should we care what kind of debt you have? You signed up for it voluntarily. Nobody forced your hand to take a loan for school. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have gone to a trade school. You could have just gone straight into the workforce. You could have done a lot of things. So this whole college loan thing is absolutely asinine. It's buying votes. It's rigging the election in yet another way. Because as Rush Limbaugh used to say, nobody votes against Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. And as far as the left is concerned, the government is Santa Claus for them. Between welfare, all the, you know, blankets that they've got to, you know, make sure everybody's taken care of if they stop working or if they don't want to work, all the benefits that they've got. And then you've got this crap where you're paying off student loans, you're doing all that kind of crap. All it is Santa Claus giving gifts to their side of the aisle and saying, hey, vote for us now because you'll keep getting money from us. We'll give you Obama phones. Mm-hmm. I mean, crap like that. It's absolutely insane that people are so easily swayed by the smallest things because ultimately, the government's not giving anything to you. I mean, how many people stay on welfare because if they got a job, their welfare would go down? Mm-hmm. They'd rather live off of the welfare at this level than have to work because once you start working, your welfare gets taken out from under you.
Or your food stamp benefits go down.
Yeah. And then you're having to actually earn money. It's crap.
Yeah. Cause I remember having these discussions back when I was a bit younger, back when I was like 20 ish, a little bit out of high school at that time. And people were like, oh yeah, it should raise because jobs are hard. And I was like, boo hoo. Wait, what the heck? So we should just change the structure of how we do things. Cause things get hard for people. And at that point, I was like, we are so effing screwed. People are so bitch made, dude. It's so crazy at this point. The fact that we have to basically bend our reality to everyone's whim is ridiculous. Then we'll never be ever satisfied in anything if we're even going by that level of logic. Because what you want is different than me. What I want different is from you and anybody else we're going to talk to in our life. Our different interests don't align in most things, you know?
And it's the participation trophy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should be, you know, nobody should be made to feel bad about how they performed in something. Mm-hmm. And that's partially my parents' generation's fault. It's partially my generation's fault because mm-hmm. I fall in Gen X, you know, the forgotten generation, the smallest of the generations that's out there right now. All we did was try to get through things. We put our noses down and just got the job done. Mm-hmm. But we also, you know, are probably the first generation that started raising our kids by using tablets and stuff. Well, not tablets, but screens. But the millennials have full bore kind of gone into that. I mean, what kids aren't raised by their screens at this point? Half of the freaking strollers have a mount for your iPad so that your kid is never not watching a screen, even at age 1, 2, whatever, just to keep them pacified. So, I mean, it's everybody's fault, but somebody's got to finally stop it.
Yeah, and that's the
I don't think too. Anybody's got the balls to do it.
Any level of opposition to any of that you're saying gets met with like such backlash. It's like, you're trying to take away my democracy. And it's like, bro, I love how people always clamor for change, but anytime a person brings up something to change, it's always met with backlash. And it's like, we're just going to be in some fucking death spiral at that point. Person's like, I want change. Cool. Hey, how about we change this? No, that's bad for a lot of people. How about we change this? No, that's bad. Okay, so it's just a bunch of, that's what it is, dude. A bunch of people just talk just to talk. It all sounds nice to say, but when reality, what's the thing, push comes to shove, they don't actually want that. They're content with where they're at, you know?
Which has always been a problem with the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. The Republican Party doesn't know how to win. They know how to obstruct a little bit.
They know how to gracefully lose, as someone put it out.
Yeah, they prefer to not wield power. Because, I mean, look at even Roe versus Wade getting overturned. Immediately, the Republicans were like, no, don't blame us at the ballot box. Just, we got to win, but we don't want to really claim that win. Yeah. I mean, they run scared the second something good happens for the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. As conservatives, you know, the whole idea is to keep things from changing for the most part. We want to stay on the values that we were founded on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the progressives are going to change things as fast as they can because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And they never have any problem claiming their wins and shouting about it, how great it is.
Yeah.
The right doesn't celebrate any wins and they don't try to get any wins. That's why. I mean,
a lot of them are just like,
you look at Congress and they don't do anything when they've got power. We couldn't get rid of Obamacare because freaking John McCain has a grudge against Trump. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have a plan to put anything else in place either. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Republicans are not good at wielding power, but they're still a hell of a lot better than voting for a Democrat.
And even with like the conservatives that we have that people watch, like Daily Wire, and I know there's other people beside them, but it's like they're like some big conservatives for a lot of people. If they're like constantly fighting each other, it's like I think we people in that sphere should kind of focus on kind of winning the election instead of trying to eat your own, because that's a left thing, is eating your own. That came from that side. Now this side's been adopting that. It's like, no, this person made me mad randomly and I'm mad about it and I'm gonna go blast them on Twitter and I'm gonna reveal their private messages. And it's like, bruh, what in the world? Like, that's so childish, dude.
There's been a lot of that lately, and it's a lot of drama farming, too. But, I mean, I do agree a little bit with Shapiro on some of this. I know he's fully pro-Israel, but we're not only seeing from the left a very anti-Semitic, you know, kind of take. We're seeing it from people on the right now, too. And that's going to be an issue if that keeps growing. I mean, you got guys like Nick Fuentes out there. And I mean, there are guys that are just blatantly, you know, neo-Nazi type situation. Mm-hmm. And I mean, look at Kanye. I mean, all the stuff he said last year, maybe it was 2 years ago. Or his
famous tweet, remember? And, I'm going to go death con on the Jewish people.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. That's just mental insane stuff he's saying.
Yep. But I mean, that is something that is rising on the right too. And we've got to call it out when we're wrong on the right as well. And I mean, Candace, as much as I like her at times, she has, you know, aligned herself with people that have very anti-Semitic views, whether she does or doesn't. Mm-hmm. I think she's questioning it. And I think she thinks that Ben's going a little bit overboard with stuff, but I don't think Candace has enough of a nuanced point of view on this topic. And she's talking before she's thinking about it. Mm-hmm. That, or she just is kind of leaning that way. Who knows? I mean,
you never know how people tend to view things. I think that when it comes to certain things like that, I think you see people on Twitter are always the first people to bring up, oh, well, black people always say everything's racist. Well, it's kind of becoming that thing now with anti-Semitic. It's like, well, is this anti-Semitic? Is this anti-Semitic? It's like, well, if there are like, I don't think people understand that there can be bad Jewish people. There's bad people in every race possible.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I don't think it's anti-Semitic to call them out on it. That's just my opinion, personally, you know?
I agree. Everybody, every race has their good guys and their bad guys.
And I would want this side to be like having this boogeyman in their head where it's like, oh, everything's anti-Semitic. And it's like, no. What if this is just this person's opinion about this person, you know, not a race as a whole. We're going to start getting into the same kind of territory that mindset is in. And that's not a good mindset either, where you're just saying everything is this without even understanding where it's coming from, which is bad, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, that's the same thing with stereotyping and everything else.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. but with stereotyping, typically it's true. Whether yeah. whether Black you want to admit like it or not.
Big dicks. That's just how it is. You know? And I hate watermelon. I think that tastes like crap. But chicken, and yeah, I love me some chicken, you know. Did you ever have grape drink growing up, actually?
I've had it. I didn't care for it. I preferred Big Red if I was going to drink something like that, Big which Red. Was
yeah,
Red Cream awesome, Soda. Yeah. Big Red was good. I used to make floats with Big Red with orange sherbet ice cream because it doesn't work with vanilla. But orange sherbet, it's great.
Yeah. Oof. Well, man. Got to get to my next show in a little bit here, but it was great to have you on for the first time, man. Great talking to you. Can I see you in Vegas on Wednesday? You said you're gonna be there. We'll be there for both days. I'll be there pretty much both days in general. I'll ask you this first, which is, got any big clients for yourself coming up outside of the meetup in 2024? Actually,
well, I'm doing a little bit more on my channel. I'm doing some streaming now. I do every Tuesday night. We do a party animal stream with a whole bunch of regulars, and we beat the crap out of each other in a little kids game, which is kind of fun. Saturday nights, I do a show called Bourbon and Boarding. It is hockey and having a few glasses of bourbon. So we review the weekend hockey, and there's not much else in the fellowship that
I don't know hockey. How you do that, man. Oh my God. Okay. Before we go, what about that one video? I see hockey videos on my timeline all the time. There was one that I saw where a dude almost maliciously killed someone.
Yeah, earlier this season. Yeah. Well, it was over in Britain, but he did kill somebody. The skate got the guy, and he bled out. I looked at it. I don't think that it was intentional. I'm pretty sure that when he bumped into the guy that was next to him, he lost control because he was only on one skate at the time that he bumped him, and. I mean, you're on freaking ice skates going 60 miles an hour or whatever it is. Probably not that fast. It's probably closer to 30 miles an hour. But regardless, it's easy to lose control. We've seen lots of situations in hockey where a guy's skates go flying up in the air because he gets hit in a weird way or, you know, gets hit up against the boards and loses his balance and flips over. I mean, there's been other situations like this. And this one, he actually died. But there's been at least three or four incidents in the NHL alone where a jugular got hit by a skate. And yeah, the guy's bleeding out on the ice and they've got 45 seconds to get something there to clot it up or at least hold the blood in. I think it was an unfortunate accident. I don't think there was malicious intent on it, but there were plenty of other people, even people who play professional hockey that said, yeah, it sure looked like he kicked out that foot. So hard to call on that one, but yeah, we talked about that one for a bit on the show because we show clips of all the fights from the week, all the great goals, all the
fights always
all the big saves.
Yeah, man.
This week we had what is now not normal in the NHL. Right off of the puck drop, the Rangers and the Devils, all five guys on both teams dropped the gloves and just started a brawl right at the beginning of the game.
Aren't you supposed to be thrown out when that happens, though? You're supposed to be kicked out, right?
Eight players got ejected in the first 2 seconds of the game. There was 152 penalty minutes issued in the first 2 seconds of the game. But that was bad blood between the teams from the game before. And that's what I love about hockey. Hockey players police themselves. And that's why you've got the fights. That's why you've got the enforcers. It's a beautiful game, but it's also a very, very rough game. There was a Geico commercial years ago where it opens up and it's like the trainer in the back room and he's picking through all of his like tools, trying to, you know, get everything set. And a guy walks in behind him and says, "Hey, I think I got a splinter." And the guy picks up the tweezers and he's like, okay, we can take care of that and get you back out on the ice. Then it shows the guy and he's got a hockey stick impaled through his arm. So hockey players are known for, you know, they get the crap beat out of them. They get teeth knocked out of them. They go back and get stitches constantly and they're right back out on the ice. Unlike, say, LeBron James, who takes a small elbow and pretends like he's dying, or soccer players that flop for everything. Hockey's a tough sport. So love it. But yeah, that's Saturday night. It's 10 p.m. Mountain.
Yes, sir. And the last thing I'll ask you is there any shout outs you want to give to anyone in particular, and anything else you need to say before you head out?
Well, sure. I'll shout out the comics division guys, all the Dicks division guys, because they took me in, and it's now been 2 years, and it's been a great ride. I do a lot of stuff. I mean, normally on Friday night, I'm on a show called Ascend and Art with Little Chad and Slender Dad, and occasionally Mad from Mad Barber Entertainment. And I'll probably be joining them to watch a movie for Mad's channel later tonight, but they're great guys. Go check them out. And yeah, it was very nice to meet you, and thank you for popping me the invite.
Anytime, man. Yeah, because, you know, some shows, we mostly talk about movies, but it's always nice to, you know, talk about the political spectrum and everything going on now. And yeah. The last thing I'll say is about the Daily Wire thing is, people need to stop gaslighting their brains in situations, though. Too much of this happens, dude, where people are like, yeah, Candace, Slay Queen, let's just keep it honest here. If people don't like the Daily Wire, she worked for them. Ben Shapiro paid her, not the other way around. So for people to say, like, oh, she'll be fine without them. Okay, yeah, maybe she will, maybe she won't. I don't know. She will. Let's keep it straight here. She was working for them, not the other way around. She needed their influence to get bigger. Her best work comes from them. Just saying. That documentary she did about BLM and all that stuff, that came from them. Let's keep things kind of, you know, where they give credit where credit is due, is what I'm trying to say. You know,
she'll be fine, just like Crowder's fine away from Blaze.
Yeah.
I don't think the fit was ever good, and we knew this was coming right after October 7th when she made comments on Twitter, and Ben Shapiro called her out on those comments back in October.
Yeah.
We knew this was going to happen. It was just a matter of what she could do to piss them off to get out of the contract, I think. But
And if you understand, it doesn't matter if she was fired or not. They basically didn't want anymore. They just paid her out. Even if it meant maybe even, because you have to pay like her salary and the money that she was already owed. They just were like, you know what? I'll just take the hit on this. Goodbye.
Yeah. it was a firing. I mean, Jeremy Boring said, yeah, we fired her. So yeah. But I don't know if you've been paying attention to Twitter tonight. She asked for a debate with Ben.
I did.
Monday. And then she's squirming a little bit because I guess she's in London right now.
Yeah.
So she was like, well, I can't get back to the Daily Wire studios. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Kind of it was interesting watching the Crowder Daily Wire stuff. I mean,
that was a shit show. Oh, my God.
It was. But it's a contract. It's a business. I mean, that's people got to remember that these are businesses. I mean, they're for profit. They may be for spreading the word as well. But ultimately, they have to make money to be able to do what they're doing.
Yeah, it's crazy how people just want these businesses to operate. Oh, you should just do it for the good faith. Yeah, you're good. Your good intentions and good faith, that might be great, but that'll pay your light bill coming up every month. Yeah, light bills don't care about your feelings. Just saying. Yeah.
Give my opinion in an altruistic way. I don't make money on YouTube. I'm not monetized. But these people are, you know, they're big voices. I mean, and they've got to – it costs money to be that big. And you've got to make money to be able to sit there and – try to produce movies and produce other content. It's
content they're producing. Like, I can agree that they don't do like the good things, and their opinions on some things maybe not that good. But it's silly for people to deny that they haven't been trying. I can agree they've been trying to do stuff. They've been putting their money where their mouth is. Kids content, movies, podcasts, streaming services. They've been putting the money out necessary to do stuff. They're not perfect, but at least I can respect the effort. You know,
there may be some neocon stuff in there, but. It's also balanced out by a lot of actual conservative values. I mean, sure, Ben was all for the vaccine. Everybody else there wasn't. I mean, they do speak their own opinions, I think. Mm-hmm. And Candace's opinion did not run with what the company's opinion is. And at some point, if somebody is bringing negative attention to you, you cut it out. So that's what happened, in my opinion. And I'm fine with it. Candace will be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll still be a voice, just like
a million subscriber YouTube channel. If she can activate that sub base and do her own podcast, let's be honest here. People are going to watch her stuff from beginning to end. Her watch time and views and ad revenue will be fine. If we're being honest here, she can do Rumble. At the moment she announced the Rumble channel, she'll have thousands of followers on there.
Yep. She's good at grifting. So, I mean, she'll be fine.
She should go see Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. They might need a villain there, but you know, that's just me being crazy. So, we'll see you guys later. Have a great night, everybody. Goodbye.